Proverbs chapter 17, and look with me, if you will, please, at lesson number 56, which we're taking from verse number 14. Verse number 14 and Proverbs 17, all right? The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. Now, our 56 lessons, for those that are visiting today, we're doing 100 lessons out of the book of Proverbs on the subject of wisdom, and taking about three or four from each chapter. Of course, we started at the beginning of the book talking about how that living a life according to the principles of wisdom allows us to live a superior life. Not superior materially, necessarily. Not superior because of the color of our skin or how much money we've got or where we live. But superior as far as God's blessing on our life. Because God blesses principles of wisdom, all right? And you can live that kind of life according to the Word of God. So we've been going through. We're going to give 100 principles on wisdom. We're at lesson or principle number 56 in this chapter. Living life wisely is learning how to avoid strife. Learning how to avoid strife. Notice what the Bible says. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Now, I really took some time on this verse. It really interested me. I think I preached a message on it some years ago called Keep Your Finger in the Dike. Keep Your Finger in the Dike. You remember the story about the little boy who plugged the dike with his finger, you know, when the water was about to burst? Keep your finger in the dike. But strife, the word strife means contentious brawling. Contentious brawling. Now, when I think of contentious brawling, I don't think of just an argument. You think of a brawl, you think of what happened at the White Sox park here a couple Saturdays ago, you know, when that guy sucker punched that player, and boy, it was on, you know. So, thank you, Brother Jeff. Okay. Thank you, Jay. So, you know, when I think of a brawl, I think of something more than just an argument, okay? So the word strife means contentious brawling. Strife is not what a marriage, a home, or any other relationship needs in life. You don't need strife. There's a lot of stress that's brought on by strife. The wise man said, the beginning of strife is like a dam breaking. It's like a levee giving way. Okay? It's when one letteth out water. You know, we go back to Hurricane Katrina. You know, you think of New Orleans. Actually, Hurricane Katrina didn't damage New Orleans as badly as it damaged the Gulf Coast of Mississippi and Alabama. I've got friends down in that area, and I've got friends who've been to that area. That area was devastated by the hurricane winds. Okay? Okay. All right, no problem. Yep. No problem. So, you know, those areas had to be, those areas were destroyed by the hurricane winds. Now, interesting that along that Gulf Coast, there's 8 or 9 huge casinos. 8 or 9 huge casinos. And they were just destroyed. So the hurricane winds, though, what destroyed New Orleans was the levee breaking. Okay? The levees broke, and the water flooded the city of New Orleans. Okay? So when you think of a levee breaking, when you think of a dam bursting or breaking, what follows can be disastrous. Now, strife has a snowball effect. The longer it goes unchecked, the worse it gets. That's where you get the word contentious brawling. You know, contentious brawling. Now, the wise person seeks to avoid strife. You seek to avoid strife. Now, if you're going to avoid strife, according to this verse here, the way to avoid strife is to leave off contention. Look at what it says in verse 14. The beginning of strife is as one when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention. Okay? Now, the word contention means controversy. Now, it may get a little bit confusing for a minute, but stay with me. Every relationship has some measure of controversy. There are no marriages. I told you this before. There are no homes. There are hardly any parent-child relationships that doesn't experience some measure of controversy, debate, argument, disagreement. You know, you have a bad day, you have a bad week. And the devil likes to get on your shoulder and tell you, you know what, you don't need to be at Sunday school Sunday. You'll be embarrassed. You're the only couple that's struggling. That's hogwash. That is junk. That's nonsense. Husbands and wives debate. They argue. My wife and I have been married 27 years. Is it 27? I've got to figure that out. 27 years. You know, now, thank God the debates are fewer. But there's still debate. We're two different people as much as we're one. You know, and again, reared in two different geographical locations, two different parts of the country. You throw people together like that within the same four walls of a house, year after year after year, don't tell me my wife and I never have had an argument. Somebody doesn't have any spunk in that marriage. Okay? So what we got here? Strife begins with controversy. If you're going to avoid strife, leave off controversy. Every marriage has controversy. So we're doomed. We're doomed to contentious brawling. You know, we just put the gloves on and go at it because, you know, it's going to happen. Okay? That's, you know, but no. Does that mean that every relationship is doomed to brawling because every relationship goes through controversy? The answer to that question is no. Because the wise man said that strife is the result of controversy that has been meddled with. Meddled with. Look at the verse again. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Be meddled with. Meddling with is the middleman. You got the brawling over here, and you got the controversy here, and you don't want to get to the brawling, but the beginning of strife is contention. So what happens here, to go from contention, to go from debate, disagreement, to brawling, I've got to stir this. I got to meddle with this. Okay? I got to fan the flames a little bit. Okay? And that's how you get from an argument or a disagreement, which every couple has. You go from a disagreement to a contentious brawling because it gets fanned, it gets meddled with. Okay? You know, I think some of you probably have come since I last told this story. I have 2 acres out here, so, you know, from time to time, we have to go through. We collect all the sticks, the limbs, and so forth and so forth, that break off the trees, and we pile it all up in the back. And, you know, we get a burn pile. And then, you know, I burn the pile off. And one day, I picked a day. It had been a little dry. It probably was not the right thing to do. And after I got the fire going really good, the wind picked up. And the wind started fanning the flames of that thing, and the wind started flying those pieces of that fire started flying off into the farmer's field. And before I knew it, I had the field on fire. And Joyce was gone. My wife was gone. I think it was me, Hannah, and Luke. And Luke was just a little bitty kid then. So I hollered, and I got the hose, and I got buckets, and I got a hoe. And I did not want to call the fire department. How embarrassing to call the fire department to put out a fire that I started. And I had to stop that thing. So I had this great big old 4x8 sheet of plywood. So I thought, I'm going to suffocate that stuff. So I went over there, and I just whoosh where it was burning. And as the thing was going down, of course, you know what happened, right? It just whoosh, blew it out further. That's a bad idea. And so now I got 5 or 6 different fires going in this field. I'm running around. Hannah's running around. I got a hoe, and I'm trying to beat out these fires and buckets of water. And we're running and hollering and running and hollering. I'm almost in the place where, you know, forget it, call the fire department, you know. But we finally got the thing under control and got it put out. Had a great big area of the field burned up. And the farmer never said a thing, and I didn't go volunteer any information. I just let it be. I didn't want to meddle with it. Amen. So, but anyway, the problem with that fire was what became just a little bitty. Well, it was a good sized fire, but what became containable all of a sudden became uncontainable because it got meddled with. Y'all are shaking your heads. Yes, like you understand. I'm not talking about a fire. I'm talking about our relationships at home. That's how it happens. See? You know, many times if controversy if the argument, if the disagreement is not meddled with, it'll die. It'll die. But when you start to meddle with it, before you know it, you're in a contentious brawl. You're in a contentious brawl. Now, I don't mean a knockdown, drag-out fist fight. I tell you, any man that does that to a woman needs to be slapped himself, just beat up. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about words can be hurled that hurt worse than a fist. Amen, that's right, that's the truth. You can get bad. You can get real bad. Okay? So, you got to leave off the contention before it be meddled with. Stop it. Just call truce. Halt it. Okay? If you keep the fire within the burn pile, okay. It's when it gets out beyond that burn pile and starts roaring, it becomes a brawling controversy. You know, my dad used to tell me, kind of, I guess this is kind of crude, but my dad used to tell me, son, the more you stir it, the more it stinks. The more you stir it, the more it stinks. And that's true. That's what strife is like. That's how we come to strife. That's true about controversy. If two adults would just let the disagreement die, then contentious brawling would never take place. It wouldn't get that far. Okay? You know, the stress of strife is not healthy for any relationship. And, you know, this stress thing, I said last week about what Brother Arnold said about the insurance thing, you know. And then Brother Richie and I were talking about it yesterday. We went out to eat. He said, you know what, my wife and I have quit eating meat because you're 58. I'm sorry, 56. I'm sorry, don't make it any worse than it is, right? 56. Some of his friends, his age and younger, you know, having trouble. That's, you know, this thing of stress and schedule and pace and what we eat and how we eat, it's killing us. It's killing us. That's one of the things I'm going to try to get into, hopefully, in this summer in the men's Sunday school lessons. And strife is one of the things that creates stress. And stress will kill you physically. So you need to leave off that, stop the argument, let it die. Before you stir it, meddle with it, and becomes a brawling controversy. Disagreement and controversy are an integral part of every relationship. When I was at the hospital in that emergency room with Mrs. Hanks and her family, when her husband, going down Highway 50 two Saturdays ago, he said, I do not feel well. I'm going to pass out. And he was gone. Okay? By the time they got him to, I think by the time they got him to the emergency room, he was already in heaven. And I went back with the family. The nurse finally came out and said, you know, I've got his body so that you can look at it. You want to go back and see him? And they wanted me to go back with them. So I did. And Mrs. Hanks was a normal wife whose 58-year-old husband just died. And she's crying. She's not out of control because she knows where he is. But she's weeping, and that's a normal part of it. She's weeping. And she's up, you know, she has his hand on his shoulder. She has her hand on his shoulder. And she's weeping. And she just all of a sudden stops crying and gets this confused look on her face. And she just says to nobody in the room, she just says out loud, who am I going to argue with? You know, it was the most transparent, open. There was just a transparency there. There was an openness there with Mrs. Hanks. And that's the way she is anyway. She's a blast. Every year we go to camp, Mrs. Hanks is there. And she has so much fun with those kids. She holds the record at Cedar River Baptist Camp for the number of marshmallows stuffed in the mouth, still being able to whistle. I think it's 18. That's pretty good sized mouth, amen. 18 marshmallows. I don't mean mini ones. I mean normal sized marshmallows. 18. And then she whistled. She won the contest. She is a blast. She was so open, so transparent. And you know, I thought, to me that was just precious. Because there's no pretense there. You know, there's no show. There's no put on. Her husband and her married 40 years this year. You know, and she's, who am I going to argue with? So what does that tell you? Arguing and disagreement is a part of life. It's a part of marriage. Now, that shouldn't be nonstop. But it's going to happen. But you want to keep it at that and not go to a brawling controversy. And the way to do that is just don't meddle with it. Somebody needs to walk away. Just be quiet. We've been on this subject before, have we not? It's amazing how many times it comes up in the book of Proverbs. Okay? Sounds like God kind of knew human beings. Sounds like the Lord kind of knew where our problems would lie. So he put a lot of things in the same book about this very subject right here. Okay? So I told a man and his wife, I was called to help. And I'm not talking about a young couple now. I'm talking about a middle-aged couple. And I said, you know what? And he was giving his side, she was giving her side, da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, you know what? I said, to me, this just looks like y'all are going to argue as long as you want to. Really, there's nothing to argue about. You just want to keep it going. So as soon as one of you gets tired, it'll be over. I had prayer and left. What? We don't need answers sometimes. We just need to leave it off. Leave it off. Just drop it. Be done with it. Okay? Instead of fanning the flames of this thing. Now, I got time for one more lesson. Chapter 18, verse number 13. Chapter 18, verse number 13. Every mature adult knows when you cross the line from controversy or disagreement to brawling, and the accelerant there is meddling with it. So put your finger in the dike and don't let the water out. Okay? You'd be a lot better off. All right, verse number 13, chapter 18. Here's what the Bible says. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Here's lesson 57. Living life wisely means I understand that there are two sides to every story. There are two sides to every story. No exceptions. There are two sides to every story. No exceptions. Now, this is one of the most helpful lessons of wisdom a person could learn and practice. There are always two sides to every story. Learning this lesson will help you avoid potentially embarrassing situations and difficult situations. Give you a little hint here. Do not pride yourself in being quick to jump to a conclusion when you've heard a matter from one side. Don't be hasty to deal with a problem after you've only heard from one side. You see, by reading that first phrase here, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, by reading that, you get the impression this person is hasty in coming to a conclusion. They jump to a conclusion after hearing one side. It's like, I got to make a decision, and I got to come to a conclusion, and I got to do it now. Why? You don't have to do it that quickly. See, being perceptive and quick to discern a situation may be appropriate in some cases, but when you are attempting to form an opinion about an issue involving two people, haste is not wise. You can't do that. You hear, as we put it, through the grapevine about brother so-and-so, or your relative, or your kid's school teacher, or the youth director, or grandma, or brother-in-law. Okay? And it involves two different people. You can't jump to a conclusion after hearing only one side. Haste is not wise there. Slow down. There are two sides to every story. Here's the thing. One side of the story can be so convincing that you believe it has to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because it's so convincing. Then you make a decision based on that one side. And then you begin to deal with the person involved on the other side, and you go, whoa. This is not exactly like I heard. Some of you talked about it last Sunday after class. There's a pastor up in Elgin, front page of the Chicago Tribune, 2 weeks ago. He was arrested for spanking a girl in his church. He spanked her like 10 times, and they arrested him. And this, the Tribune, and I taught the guy in Providence. I'm going, whoa. He was in my homiletics class. And he wasn't a PBC graduate. He was a pastor that moved into the area, and he took a couple classes over there at the school. So I'm going, whoa. Why would you do that in light of what happened in Austin, Texas? to those two guys that spanked that boy, and they got 26 and 18 years in prison because of that. You know, they were wrong to do what they did, but the judge was wrong to give them that many years in prison. This pastor up here, I mean, the front page of the Chicago Tribune, and boy, the most convincing story in the world. So I called Brother Gomez. I said, "But what in the world?" Actually, I saw Brother Gomez this week at the funeral. We were talking afterwards. I said, "Man, what about this guy?" He said, I called him on the phone, and he said, "Brother Gomez," he said, "first of all," he said, "I can't talk because the case is pending. But," he said, "don't form an opinion until everything comes out." He said, "I will tell you this." He said, "The Tribune article made it sound like they came, you know, and arrested me because they found out that I had spanked this girl." He said, "I took the girl to the proper authorities. I'm the one that took her to the proper authorities." Now, he did deal with her, but then he took her to the proper authorities to turn in her dad, or her stepdad had abused her. Okay? And at first they thought they were lying. She was lying. He spanked her. Then they found out she wasn't lying. And he went with the mom and the daughter to turn the stepdad in. And then the whole thing got turned on him. Didn't come out that way in the article. Didn't come out that way in the article at all. So you see, you form an opinion on one side, and then you start hearing another side, and you go, "Whoa, here, these aren't the same." You see what I'm saying? It's not the same. So you got to be careful before you just jump to a conclusion after hearing only one side of the matter. If any of you men, some of you men are in positions of leadership at work involving people, you have people underneath you, this lesson is a must. You got to hear both sides of the story. If you're a parent with a child in school, you got to hear both sides of the story. Okay? Even if it's between two students. Okay? Your child comes home with this most convincing story. Because look at me, your children, my children, know which buttons to push with dad and mom. They know which buttons to push. They know what enacts our emotion. Yeah, they know what does. Yes, sure they do. So they know what buttons to push. So they come home with this story involving them and another student or involving them and a teacher. And if you're not careful, you jump to conclusions and you make some big, bad statements and bold statements. And I'll tell you what. And then you call on the telephone. And then when you start hearing the other side of the story, it's like, "Hey." Okay? So there are always two sides to every story. Hey, blood is thicker than water. Blood is thicker than water. So it is emotionally much easier to align yourself with your child. You know, I've told before, first time my son, the oldest son, came home with infractions from Sharon Thomason's classroom, my wife went bananas. He couldn't do that. He couldn't do that. I mean, honey. And that's the great, she's one of the greatest Christian people I know. But that was her boy. You know, calm down. Okay? And I can't say I've always been perfect in this. Man, you jump to conclusions after hearing. That's that emotional attachment, because blood is thicker than water. It takes great character to exercise patience and wait to hear the other side. Let me give you a little approach. If your child comes home with this wild story and you listen to it and you exercise some patience and say, "You know what? I want to check into this. Give me a little time. I want to talk to the teacher." If all of a sudden they don't want you to talk to the teacher, that may be a little bit of indication. You know, they come back a few minutes. "You know, it's not that big a deal." Right. Okay. So, you know, you could be careful when you jump to conclusion. I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4. Here, let me just read these off and we're done. Most matters do not need to be addressed immediately. Very few do. Very few matters need to be addressed immediately. Number two, never give the impression that you do not trust the authority. Even if you've got a question about it, don't relay that to your child. It will not help them. That authority to you, that teacher's a peer. To you, the youth director's a peer. To your child, that teacher is God or goddess. Did you see how these girls were crying down here when Mrs. Hanson's not going to teach them? Their life ended Friday night. Because, you know what? Whoever comes in there next year, "Oh, I love you, I love you." That's how they are with teachers. Okay? So never give the impression that you do not trust the authority. You don't want your child. You do not want your child to feel like that. Okay. If you've got a question, keep it to yourself. You don't have to tell your 8-year-old. You don't have to. Number three, tell the child you're going to talk to the authority first before making a decision. Okay. I'll talk to Mrs. So-and-so. I'll talk to Brother So-and-so. I'll call so-and-so's dad. A friend in the class, you won't believe what he said to me. He called me a pig. I'll talk to the dad. Tell the child you're going to talk to the authority first before making any decisions. Sometimes that's the last thing the child wants you to do. Okay? Approach the authority with respect, seeking information. I need to talk to you about this incident. Don't come in... I've been in this situation, I know. You can always tell when a parent's already formed a conclusion. They don't come sincerely asking questions. They come making statements. Okay? So you want to come respectfully and say, I need to talk to you about this incident. Okay? Ask God to help you control your emotions and keep them in check. Remember, blood's thicker than water. You're going to side with your child. That's your child. That's your flesh and blood. So you got to ask God, keep me in check. Help my emotions here, okay? Number next, whatever it is, if you disagree with the authority, tell them politely. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, well, in this case, I think you misjudged. Okay? Well, let me tell you something. If I can't take that, I need to get out of the ministry. If I can't take somebody telling me, you know, I don't think you looked at this properly. We try to tell that to the teachers. You know, hey, you know, you're going to misjudge things. You're going to miss things. And when you do, and a parent tells you about it, say, I'm sorry. Just admit it. So, you know, if you disagree with the authority, tell them politely. You don't have to jump down their throat. Okay? If it's a matter of judgment, where it could go either way, for the sake of your child, yield to the authority. For the sake of your child, yield to the authority. If the matter has been handled improperly, tell the authority you're going to the next level. If you can't be happy with the teacher's judgment, and it's bigger than that, say, you know, I'm going to Brother Reardon. If it's something on a youth activity, you know, Brother Jason, I'm not happy with this, I'm going to see Brother Angel about this. Okay? And folks, that's only fair to go to the person who's in charge of that thing first. That's only fair. Okay? It's not fair for you to come to me about a problem in the youth group. Okay? So, tell the authority you're going to the next level. End your conversation civilly. You know, hey, look, you know what? I'm sure this will all work out. And end it civilly. There's no reason for ugliness in God's work. Amen? Well, we'll pick up in August.